congregation, Jesus' popularity at this point in the Gospels is almost at an all-time high. He has just fed 5,000 men and women and children besides. The crowds are right behind him. In verse 14, and earlier in chapter 6, they say, "Surely this is the prophet who was to come into the world." And then Jesus disappears. He slips away under the cover of darkness. He escapes from the crowd and he makes it to the opposite side of the lake, terrifying his disciples in the process. And now this crowd that love Jesus, that are all behind Jesus, send out search parties to try and track him down. Verse 24, we read that they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they eventually find Jesus, Jesus brushes off the question they ask him, and he gets to the heart of the matter. This is what Jesus said. He said, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, the feeding of the 5,000, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." And then in verse 30 here in our text, just before our text, the crowd asks for a miraculous sign. Now, what miraculous sign then will you give that we can see it and believe? They want a sign. You might think this is an odd request. And it is an odd request. They have just seen a miraculous sign, the feeding of the 5,000. They want more. Because they compare Jesus to Moses bringing manna in the wilderness. And there are differences. Jesus had given them one meal. Moses had fed them for some 40 years. And Jesus fed a crowd of 5,000. Plus women and children. Moses fed an entire nation. Jesus fed them with ordinary bread. Moses fed them with bread which came down from heaven. Jesus says, he responds to them, verse 32, "I tell you the truth. It's not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gave you the true bread from heaven, who gives you that true bread. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said, "Sir, from now on, give us this bread." And that brings us to the first thing we see about what is offered to us here. We are offered life in Jesus. That's what Jesus is offering to this crowd. Life in Jesus. Verse 35, Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty." And the bread that Jesus is offering here is not the manna that the crowd were after. They were asking for something that they could pick up with their hands and hold and eat. But what Jesus offers them is no less than himself. Jesus offers more than bread and drink, for he is the source of life itself. We all need to eat and drink. We need to eat and drink to keep us alive. But Jesus tells us that he is greater than those things that sustain life, for Jesus is life itself. He is the source and sustainer of all spiritual life. So how do we obtain the life that Jesus offers? Jesus goes on to make that clear later on in our reading in verse 53 and following. "I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink." Many turned away from Jesus. They stopped following Jesus after he said that. to feed on his body, to drink his blood. They couldn't accept what Jesus was saying. It sounded like cannibalism. And even if it wasn't cannibalism, eating and drinking blood to an Old Testament, that was in the Old Testament laws. You don't eat or drink blood at all. We want nothing to do with you. We're embarrassed by your teaching. We're scandalized by it. As verse 36 puts it, they had seen Jesus, but they did not believe. For it is not enough for us just to see Jesus. To find life in Jesus, you have to not only see him, but also come to him and believe him. You need to look to him in faith. Brothers and sisters, this morning we will eat Jesus' body and drink his blood. The bread that we will eat is not literally the body of Christ. The wine that we drink is not literally his blood. As we read in the teaching of the Belgic Confession on the Lord's Supper, it says this, it says, in order to represent to us the spiritual and heavenly bread, Christ has instituted an earthly invisible bread as the sacrament of his body, and the wine as the sacrament of his body. The body, the bread represents Jesus' body. The wine represents Jesus' blood. We know that, don't we? And yet we confess in the words of the confession that when we eat and drink, we eat him. What an amazing statement to make. We eat him. Yet more is involved, you see, than just simply taking bread and putting it into our mouths or taking wine and putting that to our lips. I mean, all who take bread and wine this morning will do that. Anyone can do that, but that does not necessarily mean that you have received life in Jesus today. For there's one condition attached to the eating and the drinking. One condition expressed in two ways. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. To be spiritually nourished in the Lord's Supper that we celebrate this morning, to feed on him, to feed on Jesus, you must come to Jesus. We must come to Jesus in faith. Let me ask you a question. Do you have life in Jesus today? Do you have life? Life in him? Have you come to Jesus in faith, acknowledging that there is no other way to find forgiveness for your sins? My friend, if you have, then you need hunger and thirst no longer. For you have found the source of life. You have found the living bread that sustains life forever. Of course, it's true that you will long to know Jesus, the source of life, that you'll long to know him more. There is more to know. There is more to love. There is more for us to delight in. There is always more. And yet already you have come to know the greatest person in the world, for you have found life in Jesus. As well as offering us life in Jesus, we're offered something, a second thing also this morning. That is, we're offered security in Jesus. Let me read to you again verses 37 and following in our text. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. Someone has said, people do not come to Jesus because it seems like a good idea to them. For it never seems like a good idea to sinful people to come to Jesus. Apart from a work of God in our souls, we remain fairly contentedly in our sin. And so this morning, if you desire Christ, if you desire Him, then that is a sign that the Father has given you to the Son. The fact that you perhaps look within yourself as you engage in self-examination this morning, the fact that you look within and see sin in your life and desire Christ as your Savior and the forgiveness of your sins through the work of Jesus, that's an indication that you have come to Jesus. The fact that you are here this morning eating and drinking with us and on Jesus today is a sign that you are welcome. You're welcome in God's family. Brothers and sisters, we can have security in Jesus this morning. Not in spite of, but because of the will of the Father. The fact that God has given His Son a people, as our text tells us, the fact that the Father has given a people to His Son oughtn't to be something that scares us, but rather something that thrills us. For God's will is the work that He has begun in the lives of His children would carry on, that it would carry on to completion. That is God's will, that salvation would be perfected in your life. It's Jesus' will to accomplish all that the Father has given Him. Brothers and sisters, this morning, our assurance of salvation, our security in Jesus is not based on our feeble hold of Christ, but on His sure hold of us. For He will lose none of all that the Father has given Him. And so this morning as we eat and drink together, this is an opportunity for us to be strengthened in our faith. Strengthened because, as the Catechism says, just as surely as we take the bread with our fingers and taste the wine in our mouths, just as certainly the body of Jesus was broken for your sins. Just as certainly the blood of Jesus was shed for your forgiveness. Just as certainly as you eat and drink today in faith, you can know that Christ will feed you forever. So the Lord's Supper this morning, which we have the privilege of celebrating, reminds us of our security in Jesus. I want to close this morning as we look at the third glorious reality that we are offered here, and that is resurrection in Jesus. We're offered resurrection in Jesus. For Jesus says to us in verse 40, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." When we eat and drink the bread and wine this morning around the Lord's table, our vision is to be multidimensional. We look to the past, we look back to the actual historical death of Jesus upon the cross. We remember that. We're thankful for that. We thank God for that. We look to the present. We look to the work that God is doing in our lives. We look around us, the work He's doing in your life, the work He's doing within the life of our church community, our Christian community. We don't only look to the past of what Jesus has done and what Jesus is doing now. We also look to the future, for Jesus is coming again. As we read in 1 Corinthians 11, familiar words, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Lord's Supper reminds us this morning, Jesus is coming again. That there is still a last day that is to come, a glorious day, a day that we should anticipate and long for. "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The life we have in Jesus is not just a life in the present. It is a life in the present. What a life it is indeed, but it's also a future life, an eternal life. And we will be raised up on the last day. Even death cannot blot out the life that Jesus has given us. We confess together when we say the words of the Apostles' Creed together, I believe in the resurrection of the dead. Have you looked to the Son? That's my question for you this morning. Have you looked to the Son? Have you believed in him? For after Jesus' teaching, on eating his body and drinking his blood, many followed him no longer. The crowds who had hungered after him left with a case of bad stomachache. They'd seen the miracles. They'd even eaten the bread. But they didn't believe. And because they did not believe, the bread that they ate and the wine that they had drunk, had they drunken wine as well, the bread that they ate did them no good. It was of no benefit to them. God's word in the Lord's Supper this morning calls us to look to Jesus in faith, to fix our eyes on him, on our glorious Lord and Savior, who gives himself to us in the supper. He gives us his body. He gives us his blood to nourish us and to support us in the faith that we confess. So my friend, come to him today. Come to him today. Believe in him. Look to him. And find in Jesus life and security and the hope of eternal life that is to come. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you promise to feed us as we come to Jesus in faith. We pray that we might know him as the bread which takes away our hunger, as the wine which takes away our thirst, as we find our thirst and our hunger satisfied in Jesus. Blessed are the hungry, blessed are the thirsty, for they will be filled. Father, we thank you that we can celebrate the supper together this morning. Thank you that we can handle the bread and the wine, taste them, touch them, feel them, smell them, and be so assured that just as certainly as we do that and take them this morning in faith, we can have assurance that you are our God. And Jesus is our Savior, and our sins, however many they may be, past, present, future, taken care of through the work of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that we indeed can find security in Jesus. We thank you that our salvation doesn't depend upon us, upon our ability to hold on to Jesus. We're thankful for that, especially when times are difficult in our lives and we feel like we're slipping away. We're thankful that we are safe and secure in your hands, that it is grace that saves us, not our own believing. Father, fill us with that grace. Fill us with faith, we pray. And Father, we pray that you will indeed do as you have promised and keep us to that final day. We may enter your kingdom and live with you forever. Hear us, we pray, Father. We pray together in Jesus' name. Amen.